Jordy Comas with Rhinestorming PA.
Up.
On our last recording, we had a new microphone and the audio levels were a bit low. We've boosted this as much as we can, so hopefully it will work for you. If you have any concerns, please drop us a line on Facebook or at our email. Thank you.
You know what? That's a good point.
I was toting my pack along the windy Conshohocken Road. When along came a semi with a high and canvas covered load.
So it's recording when
it's recording.
If you're
now.
Going to Conshohocken Hoss.
Now is it? Oh yeah, look, the little bar's mine. Do you like to see the little bar?
I've seen my little bar many times.
Well, we started. Welcome to Barnstorming. This is a first. This
mm-hmm.
is will be episode 21 or 22, depending on whether last week's
really
fuck. Yeah.
You guys have been doing a lot without me.
No, I mean September only 3 or 4 without you.
Really?
There were like 2 in a row, I think, because you were sick or whatever. There was one with Peterson. And Dwayne, and then I think there was one with Dwayne also, but you were...
That one with Peterson and Dwayne, I'm really sorry I missed.
Well, I think 5 is hard. I think you're right. But some exciting news. I've got a new mic.
Hurts so good, but salt and pepper.
I can't wait for Taylor to hear this.
Well, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, we're, you know, thoughts to Taylor. His dad, David, had a ski accident, and so, you know, we hope, wish him... I mean, he seems to be making recovery, so Taylor has been out of the country. He did tell me while he's going to be with his father, helping him recover from his skiing accident where his father broke like 9 ribs and his clavicle and had a pneumatic thorax. I was like, what are you going to do, Taylor, when you got some free time? You can work on campaign stuff. So I was like, oh, I think I'll go skiing.
He's in the Alps, for God's sakes. I laid into him.
I was like, what the? Why would you? Your father almost died and you're going to go skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many good people have we lost? The only person I could think of was Sonny Bono.
Liam Neeson's wife.
Oh, yeah. The actress.
Uh-huh.
And
I hate to say it like that because she deserves her own,
yeah.
But I've forgotten her name.
Well, you know.
That's a terrible thing.
No. All right. Anyway, so we have a couple of topics to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about an event tonight where we had people talking about the opioid crisis.
Which, as you know, most of you know, but...
15 people a day in Pennsylvania.
Devastating this community where we are broadcasting from.
You know what question I wanted to ask them? In theory, they were taking questions. I want to ask them, what do you think is a greater threat to our communities, marijuana or opioids?
Oh, for God's sakes, pot, easily.
You think that's what they'd say? Or that's your opinion?
I'm just kidding. I'm being argumentative. I mean, the opioid crisis, I saw it again the other day. We both know this, but we lost, 49 or 50 people in one weekend in Williamsport last year.
Well, they overdosed. They didn't die.
Not all of them died, but...
I think 3 died, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It was 52 in one weekend, and I think it was 210 days. Because yesterday...
A bad batch came in.
Yeah, it was the stuff with the fentanyl. Fentanyl sounds like the thing that comes after sucralose, you know, like Cheerios, now with fentanyl.
Yeah. Well, it's not even fentanyl anymore. It's
car fentanyl.
Yep.
Which is what you get cars. Clearly not meant for people.
And an overdose on that kind of stuff, for everybody listening, is literally the size of a mustard seed, which, as you can imagine, can be pretty hard to...
Yeah.
Can be pretty hard to measure that out.
Yeah. So here's the context. We had the Susquehanna Valley Conservatives, our local community group, organized a panel, and it had... 8 or 9 people on it.
Seemed like an all-star panel.
Yeah, it had a guy from the drug court, Scott Kerstetter, I think was his name. It had our representative, Fred Keller, our state senator, Gene Yaw.
Rick Schock.
Who's
Preston Boop.
2 county commissioners from Northumberland and Union County.
A loaded panel.
County commissioner.
Panel
a
with...
school board administrator and an attorney.
Lot of authority and responsibility on that panel.
Yeah. How many questions do you think they took from the audience?
I would hope at least 15 to 20.
Interesting. That's how many you hope or you think?
Hope.
And how many do you think they took?
4.
1.
No.
No, I'm not
no,
kidding.
No, I don't believe you.
1. Maybe
what,
2.
How did they...
Because they just would let them talk too long. It was classic poor panel management.
Who was the MC?
I don't know who is. Some conservative guy, Paul something.
Who put on the event?
It was the conservatives.
Susquehanna Valley Conservatives.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't...
Stan Zellers was there.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't have anything to... I mean, he wasn't running
so
it.
They do a presentation. I wasn't able to go just for, you know, but... So they do a presentation.
Doing important work. They let each of them say something about the opioid crisis, and each one talk for maybe only 4 minutes. That's 32 minutes right there. That 8 times 4, not including transition times. They brought a police dog, just to show off the police dog. Which I want to rant about that in a sec. Right.
Just to make sure nobody in the place was packing.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then the Scott Kerstetter, I think he had two questions that he, because he was, I think the idea was he was going to be the moderator. They clearly hadn't thought through this. So he had like if they had done this right, that would have made sense. Like he was kind of the moderator, this Kerstetter guy, and he was going to ask the panel one or two questions. But instead of letting the panel just maybe only respond if they had something to say, they set it up that they were all supposed to say something. So they started repeating each other. And then they got to like 8:20, 8:25, they asked one question from the audience. And they all went through it, and maybe there was a second question from the audience. I don't even remember. And then that was it, because they had an hour. That was an hour and a half. That took an hour and a half.
That is a really, really...
It was such a lost opportunity.
Such a lost opportunity. I wonder if those people would have responded if the Susquehanna Valley Progressives had asked for that event.
If they would have even come?
If they would have even come. And, of course, the place would have... I mean, that's a terrible, terrible...
I mean...
Lost opportunity.
And it was also one of these moments where they were very clear, like, we want this to be nonpartisan... Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Gene Yaw, especially, more so than Fred Keller, was saying all the quote-unquote right things, you know.
Rumors is he's retiring, so he's a little unburdened.
Maybe, but this is a disease. We have to treat it this way. We're spending too much money.
What did Representative Keller say?
I mean, I did take a few notes. I mean, he started off saying, no one wakes up in the morning hoping to be an addict. I mean, I was hoping to go in and nail him that he would say something like, oh, yeah, well, this is because people have moral failings.
It's a moral fail. Yeah, the traditional. He didn't go there?
He didn't go there.
They're smartening up on the opioid thing. What press was there?
PCN, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And now I wonder if they have some sort of deal with Susquehanna Valley Conservatives, because, like, the last time we went through this, I assume they were, like, C-SPAN and they were a public entity.
Right.
They're a business.
Yeah. You know. $60 a pop. So, PCN, but no...
No, Matt Ferrand was there from the Standard Journal.
Daily Item?
I didn't see anyone.
TV? Besides PCN?
I didn't... There were a lot
of cameras. Can you imagine that much authority and responsibility in a room and nobody cares? And frankly, there was not a lot of publicity about it ahead of time either.
I'm trying to see what else, Fred. I didn't keep good notes on who said what. The stuff, I mean, so I'll hit a couple of high points. Let me talk about the dog for a sec, because that cracked me up. So they brought their drug-sniffing dog. Really cute, lab-looking thing.
Labradoodle.
Yeah, I don't know. And they were talking about it, and they planted some weed on... on the guy.
Wait. Was this real or like oregano?
They said it was real. It had to be real because the dog is trained to only smell five things.
Exhibit only, right?
Yeah. So you know? He's trained to sniff out ecstasy, cocaine, heroin, marijuana, and I forget the fifth one, but they were all illegal drugs.
They planted some weed on...
They planted the weed on one of the panelists, basically.
Who?
Well, it was the guy who was the moderator, who's like the head of the Social Media Conservatives.
Damn it.
And I was a little bit like... How do you know? I mean, the police officer said it was a plant, but in my mind, like, I was just a very twisted thing. It was like, yeah. What if he just arrested you right then? Like, you're in possession. Like, I was thinking about how creepy it is that, and it was all white men, and the room was all white people. Everybody kind of, ha ha, nervous laughter, ha ha, of course, you know, oh, he's going to catch me. And I'm like, that's not fucking funny. You know how often cops plant things on people?
Yeah.
Poor people, especially poor black people.
All the time.
You know, so I don't know. I was having a very different reaction. And then if Stan Zellers were here, I'm sure he would like be like, really, he's one of the conservatives.
Did the dog find the weed?
So the dog found the weed, and everybody was like clapping and cheering.
And then the dog got kisses, and
the dog got to play with his toy, and he was really cute dog,
which was full of weed.
Yeah, maybe it was full of weed. And well, the dog went and sniffed the briefcase where we had been told it had been placed, but he also spent some time on somebody's coat, one of the other panels, and that guy looked very nervous. And he was very like
four dudes immediately get up and leave.
It was one of the panelists. It was the county commissioner from Northumberland County.
Oh my god. Oh my god. The dog's gonna do what? Wait a minute. Time out. This is an opioid thing, man. I
didn't tell me it's a weed thing.
Come on, dude. I just blew one in the parking lot. That is so great. When he said that, at least four dudes in the place shit themselves.
Especially, yeah, right. Yeah, all the Libertarian Republicans.
Oh, come on, yeah. Man. Everybody either smokes or doesn't care.
Yeah, right. It was really, I hadn't thought about
that. That is great.
And so I started videotaping. I was hoping it would go really sideways. It didn't. But I was like, this is one of those things where, like, the dogs. Wouldn't that have been amazing if you found weed on somebody?
I can't, honestly, did, like, two or three guys kind of, like,
I was seeing the
back out of the room?
I was seeing the furniture. Some of the camera guys, you know, who might have been there. Just like, oh, shit.
In that room, one dude's holding. You know there's
like
a guy.
60 people.
Oh, yeah. Odds are. Come on. Jesus.
You're right. Yeah.
God damn.
But then the other thing is, and I need to look into this, so I might be way off base, but I'm like, hey, they're talking about how we have three dogs in Union County. Why do we have three dogs? Like, one's a bloodhound, one's a drug dog. I'm like, wait a minute. Do we actually, like, maybe in a five-county region, but.
Someone was telling me recently that Sheriff Ritter actually paid out of his own pocket for one of the dogs, and it's like a $20,000.
It's a huge investment. Something. It goes to Germany or the Netherlands, like. Yeah. And I emailed John Towers about it because just curious, like, because what? Why is the sheriff doing this? That seems like a different police. Yeah. All right.
We have a police problem in this country.
I mean, yeah. So anyway, back to the opioid thing. So. You know, the one thing was they had huge amounts of compassion for this as a disease. And I also heard them planting what's the defense. Like, I want to then say, it's so nice that you have all this compassion for opioid addiction as addiction. What about all the people that we've locked up for other drugs, right? And they didn't take any questions, so I didn't get a chance to ask that. I'm not even sure I would have in this audience, but that's a whole nother thing. But
When are we going to start prosecuting the people that put those drugs in our community?
Well, that's another. There was some appetite for that. The one question was about that doctor in Northumberland County who put out 5 million pills.
Yeah.
And she was basically like, how did he get away with this? Why didn't someone bust him?
Yeah.
No, but.
And you know, the company responsible for this is one company. Mm-hmm. This is not. There's one company that's making billions of dollars.
How do we get in on that?
You buy stock in the company, I guess.
But
I mean,
what's the ticker symbol?
Yeah, Purdue, man. And until those
That's people, not the same Purdue that makes chicken.
No, but boy, what a vertical integration that would be. start putting fentanyl in our chicken breasts. But it's literally like this is not a mystery with, you know, deep dark web.
Yeah.
There is a publicly traded company that is making lots of money putting drugs into our communities.
I mean,
why don't we just go after the 10 or 12 of them?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go real sideways here, but something that's been on my mind for a while with the immigration thing is why aren't we going after the employers? You know, this country is addicted to cheap labor and we keep acting like, oh, these damn Mexicans and Central Americans who come up here and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, they come because we hire them.
I'm going to go off on my own sideways thing. Years ago, I ran a shelter down in South Central Florida. And it was mostly the clients were migrant workers. And the migrants, the circuit is Florida, the Carolinas, and here, believe it or not. The hardest working, most affable, friendly, loving, and I we can't generalize in broad stroke, but when we, you know, when I see this country and people who have never spent time with them, vilifying them, it's a real fault of human nature, you know, and when I say 99%, I really mean 100% of the people that I worked with in that community for over 2 years, 100% hardworking, genuine. They just wanted to be left alone. They wanted to work 12 hours a day. They were picking tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I just, it's just a real shame. It is a real shame and a stain on this country that we have people in this country attacking the most vulnerable and the lowest.
Yeah.
You know, and these are not the people that are your problem.
No.
And it's just a real shame that this is the human nature to attack the most vulnerable among us.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so back to the opioid event. They were full of sympathy for this as a crisis. You know, there was a little bit, like the things that would have made your blood run cold, made my blood run cold, were like, at one point they were like, look, you know, this is a real crisis. It's not one of those ones of those people using the drugs. I mean, literally, it was Gene Yaw, I think, said those people using these. And I was like, okay.
Yep.
Like, thank you for basically saying we care about this because it hits white people.
Well, we all, I mean.
And he was also like, and it comes from people getting prescriptions. It's not coming from Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and New York, which even if that is true sometimes about the flows of the drugs, although it's not, I know some stuff is cooked up around here, the methamphetamine
sure.
shit.
The meth labs are mobile, for God's sake.
I don't know. I mean, to me that seems code for kind of a racist.
Of course it's code. Of course it's code.
I mean, what if 80% of the heroin does come from Philadelphia? Isn't there something about the way they say it that's...
Well, heroin doesn't come from Philadelphia. It comes from the poppy, but...
No, I mean, but the traffic. I mean, we're not growing
poppy. It's start, you know, and that's enough. I mean, go all the way deep, man. It doesn't get into this country without somebody in power knowing about it. Come on, man. This is... We're being naive. These drugs... Marijuana is one thing. You can grow it in a closet.
Right.
Right? Cocaine does not get into this country without somebody somewhere knowing something. The same with these pills. They're manufactured in China and India. They don't get to our communities without somebody in power being complicit.
Well, the prescriptions for sure. The prescriptions for sure.
Even the illegal. I mean, there's all
kinds. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it is a big border.
Heroin doesn't come from Philadelphia. It got to Philadelphia because somebody in power, somebody with authority,
right,
is complicit. And, you know, we're aiming down. You know, the microphone or the magnifying glass is aiming down, and it should be aiming up. And you'd have to arrest a lot fewer people to solve the problem if you went to the top and not the bottom.
No, those are some powerful words.
There it is.
I'm just going to leave it there.
A lot of people are getting rich off of people in this community dying.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there were other... Oh, and then the one thing I learned later, this one lawyer who was on the panel... He's pretty Republican. He's the only one who kind of asked a challenging question of the other panelists. So they got to the end, and he was like, look, you know, you all can talk all you want about how great the drug courts are and this, but until you put more resources into it, you're not going to make a dent into it. So he basically called them out on underfunding all of this.
They have no interest in solving this problem. They're making too much money.
Well, he's talking about Fred Keller and Gene Yaw. They're not making money off of it.
They get campaign donations from these guys. Yes, they are. You should bring up their... Not FEC, but...
Who? Wait a minute. I was with you on there are people making money off of this, but tell
maybe
me,
at this,
tell
maybe
me
at
how
the
people in that room are making money off
of it. You know, that's a good question. I'm not going to answer that because it would be a lie if I knew how to answer it. But look at our congressman, Tom Marino, and the bill that he just drafted last year that got under attack. Twice he was nominated for the office.
Yeah, but I feel like you're skating across topics. We were talking about who gets money from heroin, and I think... You're probably honest. I mean, that somebody in borders or in port security, somebody is being paid to look the other way to let that shit.
Of course.
But that doesn't seem to me to be. I'm not sure how that money gets to Gene Yaw and Fred.
You know, and I'm not sure either. Okay. I'm gonna seed the ground on that one.
Yeah. They may benefit from not putting more money into drug court treatment in other ways. Like, let's look at it that way. What is the benefit to them from not doing more to fund drug courts?
You know, that's a good question, and I wonder why they even. Why aren't they being tougher? Why aren't they being more vocal? Why aren't they being more...
Here's a theory, okay? I'm your typical Republican. I'm a Fred Keller. And people are like, opioids, starting 3, 4, 5 years ago. Actually, the drug court's been around a long time. But and there's no way I'm going to raise taxes, right?
Okay.
So I can, like, approve some money for state-level grants, and I can make sure my drug court gets a grant, and then... That's you get to eat your cake and eat it too, right? Like then people are like Fred really supports the drug court, and the drug court has a great reputation. It has a great reputation for what it does. Yeah. That lawyer's point is it's not enough. Like it's not really putting a dent in it. Like,
it's
in
not words, enough. It works with it's people. Not funded enough.
It's not funded enough. It's also the problem with the drug court is you have to get to the level of like an M1 felony, which is like robbing people, robbing cars.
Yeah.
If you just get busted for possession of opioids, you're not in the drug court.
Yeah.
And the reason I think that the drug court works is because it's a really heavy stick with the carrots. It's, you know, so does that make sense, right? In other words, I get to seem like I'm doing something for opioids as a politician, but I don't actually have to spend any political capital. I don't have to address... Like, it was weird to hear these Republicans talk so much about how important social programs are when I'm like, philosophically, I don't think you like them.
Right. That is interesting.
And going back to the dog, I meant to say this about the dog. The dog is fucking... The dog was, like, advertising for basically a social program.
No, not there. Not there. Not there.
I mean, to me, this is like... The dog had nothing to do with the opioid crisis because he's not trained to sniff any of them.
Right.
He actually... Well, heroin. But
it was literally a dog and pony show.
It was literally a dog and pony show.
You know, and I want to clarify, and you bring up a really good point. We all tend to talk more than we know. And I find Fred Representative Keller to be an honorable man. I don't think Fred is benefiting from the crisis.
Maybe not campaign contributions, but it is interesting, why isn't he doing more?
It might not be something that he has the ability to do more about. I don't know. I don't know. And there I said it, and I mean it. I don't know. I don't think Fred has a lot to do from it, or a lot to do with it. I don't think he's making money from it.
Yeah.
You know, but there are people who are complicit. And maybe it's at the at a bigger...
And maybe they lean on him.
I don't know. I've found Fred to be a nice guy who does the best he can. So, I mean that. I'm not trying to be political.
No, I know you mean it.
And you know,
I believe when he said the thing tonight, no one wakes up trying to be an addict. Like
Fred's a genuine person trying to do the right thing for his community.
I want
to
beat his ass.
I think Dr. Jen is a qualified candidate, and I wish her the best.
I know we said we're going to talk about it. I just want to float this, see what you think, just from a campaign perspective. I think one thing that she could work in her language is to say, we need better leadership. You know, she doesn't have to name Fred by name, but that's a way. Because I feel like the simplistic approach to politics is to say, well, you don't want to attack and go to negative, so you should be positive. But we also know positive doesn't win that often.
Well,
say one more thing. You have to differentiate yourself from an incumbent.
You have to.
So I think you have to differentiate without maybe being attacking Fred as a person.
You do, and I hate to say it, but the truth is we live in a district with a lot of low-information voters. We just do.
So that's why I was saying she should work in, we need better leadership, which has an implicit comparison without saying, you know, Fred, he hasn't done much. He's not a mover.
He hasn't done much.
His legislative record's pretty thin.
It's pretty hard to get something done in a bloated legislature like the one that we have.
Yeah, but he's in the party that has the majority.
And he's been there long enough that he's probably built the relationships he needs.
While we're on this real quick, and then we'll get off of state politics, Scarnati and Terzai. Who are the number one and number
two? If they start the impeachment process, I can guarantee you, I will be one of many who will be occupying the Capitol.
We'll get to the impeachment in a sec. I just want to. I think I told you. Did you ever read Harry Potter? Or you saw the movies?
Yeah, I did read Harry Potter, but I never admitted that out loud until just now. Cheers.
Scarnati and Terzai. Doesn't it sound like a law firm that would be on Diagon Alley defending like dark wizards? You know, like Scarnati and Terzai, like wizard lawyers defending Slytherin and people who use unforgivable curses in 1723.
It's such an easy way.
Scarnati and Terzai.
Like Scarnati and Turd Brain. I mean, it's just such an easy.
Names. All right.
They're about to find out how if they go through with this impeachment process, they're going to find out how little.
Not everyone understands impeachment. Can you explain what that is?
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that the congressional districts in the state of Pennsylvania are in fact gerrymandered to favor the Republican Party, and they ordered the legislature, which is Republican controlled, to redraw the congressional districts to make them fair and constitutional.
That's right, because that language is in the Constitution.
It is
compact, contiguous.
And Scarnati, the punk that he is, has threatened to impeach the judges.
Douche.
Well, douche is.
Is it douche or douche? I don't know.
You know, it
is D-U-S-H. He's the one I've seen. Is Scarnati threatening to go?
Well, Scarnati's. I mean, douche.
You don't think douche washes through Republican, the system without Republicans, Scarnati squeezing him?
The Republicans do. Come on, man! I'm trying to.
I didn't name him. His mama did.
Yeah. So he douched with Dush, and douche doesn't do anything without the leadership telling him to do it. You know, they go to a guy in a safe district. He's the one that introduces the bill, right? So these guys are threatening to impeach our democratically elected judges, and it's just an amazing affront to democracy and the Constitution. If they actually push this process forward,
imagine after Bush v. Gore, imagine Bush v. Gore, and then after that, imagine that the Democrats had the Senate. And I'm trying to think of an analogy, and we had tried to impeach Supreme Court justices. You're right. I mean, they would have invaded Washington.
Find out how little they matter. That's what's going to happen. Those boys think they have a lot of power.
So if they try impeachment, you think we should occupy the Capitol?
The Capitol will be occupied. It's not what I think.
Well, but I'm just...
We're going to surround the Capitol arm in arm, and they're not getting in or out.
If the leader of the progressive movement, which isn't one person, but if they called you and be like, Chip, they just impeached
them. I already got my go bag ready. I'm ready. I've already got the go bag. I mean, these guys are... Yeah. It's they have you know, it's they're not they're
this
not.
This is our Mueller. This is our firing Mueller moment. This is the moment where we go from being respectful small D Democrats who respect the process of law to being like, no, right? Like, you were trying to fuck up the whole
Democrat system. More than a few of these guys are gonna end up in prison and they don't know it.
The Republicans.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't even understand. This is something, you know, people, like, there was one hiccup in this where they were refusing to turn over data to the Supreme Court. I'm like, if you don't do what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court says,
right,
aren't you in contempt? Like, I don't really know how that works.
Well, I don't really know either. I think the deal is they just are convinced of their power and their unimpeachable.
And you know, the thing that drives me, this is the thing that drives me crazy about
the power belongs to the people, Terzai and Scuttbutt.
Yeah. And the thing that drives me nuts a little bit about our fellow liberals sometimes is, like, because I, you know, people who listen to this regularly probably know I was one of the petitioners for the lawsuit. Thank you, Chip. You know, people saying to me, like, on Friday of last week, Scarnati and Terzai turned in this map, and people are talking to me still as if this is good faith governance, right? Like, they're like, what do you think of this map? And I'm like, it doesn't matter what I think about it, because nothing they have done indicates that they actually believe in the rule of law.
You know? Republicans can't win when it's fair. They can't win without cheating.
I mean, this is the thing that makes me feel a little bit for people who are probably honest Republicans, and let's throw, like, a Fred Keller or Ben Rank in there. Like, you know, they seem like decent people. And I'm like,
they are decent people.
Your party has become addicted to a political strategy of disenfranchising people through voter laws,
cheating, rigging, and lying.
Right, and that's bad. And then the defense of it is further eroding everybody's belief in democracy. Mm-hmm. And it's really hideous.
It is hideous.
You know, I mean, we really, like, for the good of the country, they need to change.
Well, at this point, I would say for their own good, they better change, because we're not going away. We are going to win this eventually. I mean, they might have taken some short-term games, but in the long run, we're going to win.
I mean, for all of I think Karl Rove got this, you know, for all of his flaws and how much of a loathsome human I think he is. Karl Rove understood the Republicans needed to court Latinos.
Better smarten up, because they're going to end up in jail.
And Bush, George W. Bush, got a decent amount of Latino votes in 2004. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, with the rise of the Tea Party, like, they have pissed that away. Like, and the black, brown, white, liberal, you know, coalition is going to keep growing and getting bigger and bigger. And that's what I'm saying, right?
Between, like, the Republican Party right now has lost millennials, people of color, and they're losing women by the day.
Especially unmarried women.
After the last week? Oh, my God. So they have nobody left
except the old
white male pricks.
Who they have gerrymandered into...
into, you know, I mean, how many male pricks are there in the world?
All Republican voters are pricks.
A lot of them are at this point. I mean, if you're still voting for Trump and these guys, you got to be a little bit of a dick.
I can't agree with that. But
that's my job to be out there. Yeah. So anyway, the changing American electorate.
Yeah.
Okay, we're more diverse. As a matter of fact, men are the minority party. There are more women in this country than men.
And they need to learn to make their arguments and win in that environment. And
they need to just not, you know, don't be an asshole.
We'll
share with you.
Yeah.
You can have the money and some of the... I mean, you can have some of the... You can't have it all.
What are we sharing? I want to be clear.
You know, money, power, whatever.
I just meant we'd share the government. Like, if you win, we'll share the government. If you win
we'll play by the rules.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've been looking at some of the maps that could be drawn, and they're not... Like, this is where I feel...
Didn't an eighth grade class redraw the state last week? An hour?
I mean, it's yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But some of the maps, especially if you try and respect county boundaries, they're not... They're going to make some seats competitive to Democrats, but it's not like it's going to flip it to, like, 12-6 Democrats.
Right. Right.
No, but it might. It should, because there are 1 million more Democrats in this
state. I know, but this is, I think... Okay, let me try and explain this. This, to me, is a flaw in the arguments about the gerrymandering. Here's where I hear the argument go to. In the last election, congressional elections, there were 51% of the votes in Pennsylvania went to Democrats, and 49%, or maybe it's 52-48, went to Republicans, right? There are 5 Democrats and 13 Republicans. Almost worse than that, there's no turnover. Those are the same 5 D's and R's since 2011. So there's been... Hold on. So the argument goes, it must be gerrymandered,
And then I think the next argument is, and people even say this, a map that is fairer would lead to something that's closer to
representative of the makeup of the state.
But the thing is, we don't elect our delegation by the state. We elect our delegation by districts. And it is the case that a lot of Democrats are concentrated in a few areas. See what I'm saying? Like, you can't, to me, it's dangerous to jump from this was the vote split to therefore we should automatically.
First of all, did you know you don't have to live in the congressional district you're running for?
But what does that have to do with anything?
I can run in any district in the state.
How does that in any way relate to what I'm saying?
Well, you're saying because all the Democrats are in Philly, it makes sense that the Republicans control rural PA.
I could see why you're saying that, but what I'm saying is the argument from the left or from Democrats is, look, we won 51% of the vote, therefore we should get
51% of the vote?
The only way to get that is to gerrymander districts.
Okay, you're in the big blue now, and I'm not sure I follow you.
Here's Pennsylvania. No one can see this because I drew it, right?
Right.
If you were to draw...
For those of you at home, it's not a really great map anyway.
Let's look at 51%
of the state voted for... Okay.
Okay, so I know this is terrible. We're looking at...
we're looking at something that Jordy finds interesting.
We're looking at projects.538.com. They have this really interesting atlas of redistricting.
Yep.
Okay, here's a map of Pennsylvania. This is what happens if you draw them, if you redraw the state and you try and respect borders. And it's basically so people know, Pittsburgh is a solid Democratic
district. I see what you're saying.
So these are districts that would be competitive.
If it was redrawn fairly, they'd still control the state.
Well, they wouldn't necessarily control it, but it wouldn't necessarily lead to a perfect 9-9 split.
Yeah. By the way, we have lots of problems.
Hold on. Okay. Watch this.
I mean, we can go.
Here's what happens if you redraw the districts so that you try and make sure...
That there's accurate representation.
You try and make sure that's closer to 9-9 because that's the 52-48. Yep. And you end up with really... people can't see this, but compared to relatively compacted, you end up with a lot of really squiggly districts. Now, I think one could make the argument, it's a fair argument to make, if the whole state is 50-50, then the representatives should be close to that split. But if you say that's the most important thing, you will gerrymander.
Okay, so let's.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm going to move on real quick. Do we live in a democracy or a representative republic?
Well, we live in a representative republic.
Because your vote in Wyoming matters more than your vote in California, right?
Yeah, I feel like you're pivoting.
I am pivoting because that doesn't...
I'm not saying this is the best map either. I mean, the thing is... Look, this one's really crazy. This is, if you draw the maps without regard to counties at all, and you basically try and make everybody as close to each other as they can, it's an algorithm.
I don't know.
But anyway.
We need one person, one vote. Period. Period.
Yeah, you're talking about the Electoral College. That's
I don't know what I'm talking about, but the point is,
I agree with you. That's because
if everybody in this country had access to voting and voted the way they wanted the country to be governed, it would be overwhelmingly Democratic.
Here's the stupid thing. This is how they drew the boundaries now, and they're so, as everyone knows, they're just insanely jigsaw puzzle pieces. If they had followed the 538 folks.
Yeah, they'll never do that.
I know, but if they had just done it like this, that's a pretty good map for them.
That's a pretty good map for them.
In other words, if they had just followed the county boundaries, they could easily win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 seats are safely in Republican hands, and then another 1, 2, 3, 4 are very, very competitive for them. They could, if they have good candidates, win 13-5. And they didn't have to go through all this. They didn't have to waste... all this time, all this money.
Republicans don't know how to win without lying, cheating, or stealing. That's it. Period. They don't know how to win a fair fight. Right. They can't win a fair fight.
So let's just bring people up to the latest news as far as I know. The Scarnati and Terzai, they were supposed to enact new maps, which is an act of... By last Friday, and they didn't. So
they submitted a map.
So they're technically already not following what the Supreme Court did. And so now Wolf is looking at this new map, which this is what somebody asked me on television, like WNAP interviewed me. They were like, is this a good map? I was like, well, the last one was an F. I've been a professor. This is a D-.
By the way, you're the go-to now. Because at the rally, you became part of the story, and you weren't even there.
Really?
Well, you saw the news report.
I Oh, yes, because they called me.
They called you.
I know.
And now it's Jordy Comas. Like, it was like
scholar
or expert or something. I mean, I got the biggest kick out of that.
That's really funny.
But whenever the local people need a gerrymandering expert, you've now become that person.
I was in state college again for this conference passing, and I had on a Fair District's pin, and people would be like, oh, awesome. And then I would tell them, and they were so nice, and they're like, thank you so much. And it's it is really like... It's so humbling to be in that position because it really is. And you realize that people feel like this is a win for the forces of good and justice. And then they're like, I'm close to somebody who helped to make it happen. And that all that's true. I obviously had very little to actually do with winning it. But
I'll let you have that moment. But I got to tell you this, and I mean this, and I'm not trying to be. But I really am appreciative that you're the guy. I mean, there's a lot of people in this community who could have filled that role.
Yeah.
You're thoughtful, you're intelligent, you know what you're doing. I'm really appreciative of
not
you either. And the work and the sacrifice. Yeah. And I'm really glad it's you and not somebody else.
No.
I'm glad it's you and not me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear that. And I'm, you know, this has been a good year for me to do it because I have time to go to other things and all of that. And I'm happy to take on that role as spokesperson. I had a woman who wanted to have her picture taken with me. Like, you're one of the petitioners? Like, that was really sweet.
Jordy, I'm really glad it's you.
No,
you're a perfect fit. You're perfect.
So here's where it is. Wolf now has this stupid map that wasn't even enacted.
Yeah.
So will he veto it or will he accept it?
You know, I mean, who's to say? Unless,
we should all be careful about the prediction business.
Yeah, who's to say? But
I think he'll probably reject it.
Well, I think he's going to reject it, and I think they're going to go to an independent authority who's going to draw the map based on the facts and reality.
Well,
and forget partisan. You know, we've got to get past.
Well, and they will. And what I'm worried about is that some Democrats may be disappointed because they haven't really studied this.
You know,
and they're going to think that it's going to lead to some like 11-7 advantage to Democrats. And like what I was trying to say is, you can't do that unless you engage in some other weird kind of gerrymandering.
That's right.
And it's going to lead to some districts that are going to be more competitive, and that's good, and that's what should happen.
At this point, we're not Democrat or Republican. We're here for the higher calling, which is a good government.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we are registered Democrats, but we're here for good government.
That's what I
and
say.
So I'm not worried about Democrat.
All right. I've got a couple of
Democratic pushback.
Quick thing for you. First of all, and I want you to chipsplain me something that's my version of the
answer.
I don't know why people think Eric Trump is such an idiot. Like, I must have missed something that happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like late night, maybe, do you know, late night television shows and like podcasts.
Eric Trump is the blonde one, by the way.
I guess, but they're like, oh, Eric Trump. Like, they sort of joke that Donald Trump pretends like he's his son, and I don't get the joke. Like, what information don't I have? Can you explain this to me?
I don't think I can. I mean, I don't have a TV, but the question is, why are people making fun of Donald Trump's sons?
Particularly Eric. Eric seems to be always the one that...
Well, I mean, I don't think either one of them, I don't know, George. You know... What's that?
None of them inspire great confidence.
No, of course not. I mean, I don't know what your father was like, but my father was not a great guy. But I knew that at an early age, and I fought back. These kids got to know that their dad is a lying, cheating, philandering.
Yeah, but if you got millions of dollars from your awful father.
Yeah, I take the money and run. I mean, it still doesn't cloud my judgment, right? You know, so as far as the kids go and the family goes, I think
you don't know.
The answer is, I don't know. And at this point, though, it's. I think we're reaching, the Gladwell tipping point. And
okay, well, yeah. So you want to talk about Portman for a minute or two?
Porter, you mean?
Porter.
Yeah. I do. I think, it's just remarkable to me how slow-moving the democracy is. You know, we knew this a year ago, and it took a year to get to this point. The government is obviously a big thing, but my God, it's a slow moving.
You think Trump's going to be impeached over this or something? I mean, you're saying...
No, I don't think Trump's going to be impeached, but people knew a year and they've known about Porter, and they've known the allegations were credible for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just striking to me how bloated, or whatever the word is, this government is. It doesn't move... fast. We know Trump's a liar. We know he's laundering money for the Russians.
Did you watch the State of the Union?
Fuck.
Do you know it was the second or third longest?
Really?
Yeah. But it was not the longest, length of time. In other words, it lasted almost 2 hours. But it was one of the shortest in terms of words.
Because he kept clapping for himself?
Yeah, and he just was slow delivery. You want to say it?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
No.
It's Lillet. It's a liqueur. It's like a fortified wine.
It's kind of sweet. Good. It is nice. It's very, makes me feel very refined.
Anyway, I think, you know, if I was a reporter in the press room, I'd ask.
I don't know why Eric Trump is the butt of the jokes.
He's not very smart.
But why do people know that? I feel like...
If you listen to a guy talk for more than 20 or 30 seconds, we all are guilty of the first impressions thing. We all judge.
It's like if you watch the Super Bowl when Janet Jackson's nipple is exposed, then you're like...
I never saw that.
But you know what it is, right? And somebody's like, oh, I hear she had a wardrobe malfunction. You understand the joke.
Right.
Like there's some common touchstone. Like with Eric Trump, it's like he like walked out of the White House one day with his pants on backwards and now everybody thinks he's an idiot. But I never knew that. And so there's this inside joke among... Americans or whatever.
No, I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know.
Here's my next thing that I found fascinating. So we have a local recycling waste disposal company, Hometown Disposal,
mm-hmm.
and they have this single stream recycling, which in my family we love because it used to be around here you'd have to lug.
You know what single stream recycling means?
It goes right into the.
It just goes right to the dump. They don't separate that shit.
I mean, I hope...
What a joke.
I'm worried it's true, and I hope it's not. But
of course it's true. Follow them with a camera someday.
Well, so I was talking to the... I was talking to one of the home stream guys the other day. You know, chatting to him, and
you were talking to Chattington?
Yeah, chatting to him.
Go ahead.
And,
let me talk about Gandhi.
One thing I can tell you for sure is your dog is not a drug dog.
Yes, that's...
Yeah, I'm holding right now.
Yeah, Evie has not moved for a good 2.5 hours.
Well, I'm holding, and he hasn't done anything but sniff my crotch.
Play-Doh?
Just go ahead. I'm on a different plane
now. You lost it. Anyway, so Homeland Disposal guy says to me, I say, well, because I've just been curious, like, what happens if the recycling gets some contamination, you know, like, stuff that's not supposed to be in there? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, well, we take it up to the you know, landfill, we'll resort it, and then we sort out the recycling, and... I was like, what do you mean sort? We sort. I was like, how do you do this? He's like, oh, well, you know, we have people who sort. I was like, who
and then
that?
Do you pay to dump it in the landfill?
Well, I didn't ask him that. But do you know who does the sorting?
Let me guess.
Now you're going to know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say it's somebody who's white.
Around here, maybe, but statistically, it would not be likely to.
Okay, who's sorting it? The prison.
Yeah. America's perpetual slave labor class, the prisoners.
Dollar a day.
Yep.
Dollar a day.
And I was like, that is a fucking conundrum for a liberal, yep. Right? I like my recycling, but don't like my slave labor.
Yeah, no, the fact that people think slavery doesn't exist in this country right now is a myth.
I mean, that's...
We have slavery right now.
And I'm like, the only reason recycling maybe works, in quotes, as a profit model is because we're underpaying the labor. And that also means that maybe there's a machine that could do it or some other system, but they're never going to invest in it because they have slave labor to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, people... I feel like some people be like, well, it's good if they work. I'm like, sure, if it's good if they work, but not doing something that...
Latest studies say that only 3 months in prison can alter your brain in such a way that you can't, you know.
Not only that, I've seen other reports. Whole Foods had this for a little while and supposedly they got away from it because they were buying like cheese and crops that was made and harvested by prisoners. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I thought they were painting license plates, right, or whatever. Like, that's mm-hmm. like if they're doing work, it should be, I mean, ideally, it seems to me they should maybe be making something,
mm-hmm.
like making whatever, something mm-hmm. nice, and then selling it for market price. And maybe they don't get paid, but the money goes to restitution or whatever. Their labor is going to a company that makes a profit margin. Like, could there be anything more overtly fucked up?
I saw Shawshank Redemption. This country's fucked.
you need to fill in the
Shawshank Redemption,
I've
man.
I've seen it, but I don't know how you get from that to this country.
Well, no, the warden was paying.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But, yeah, no, that's we have a long way to go.
I mean,
to
if
be,
you're right, if we're Shawshank Redemption... Are we in the shit-filled sewer tunnel now?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are.
But
we're close.
Or are we just now getting raped?
No,
because I need to know how much more this movie is.
We're in the shit-filled tunnel, but we're close to Zay Wataneo, or whatever that...
The special place. Yeah.
But, no, it's a real shame. And you saw last week San Francisco wiped all the marijuana convictions. You know, and at the same time, San Francisco wiped all marijuana convictions off the books. Same time, Jeff Sessions is trying to build more prisons because he's a private contractor and throwing more people in jail for pot.
He owns the. Oh my God! Yeah.
Yep.
Here's another one that I feel like is a conundrum for liberals. Like in general, unions good. Like prison guard unions, especially for private prisons. I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah. You're advocating for laws to create more demand for your product. No, like some forms of deregulation and privatization can work in some contexts.
Yeah.
But like so many things get privatized, like anything around schooling or public provision. I'm like, where's your profit model? Yeah. The only way you're going to make a profit is to either, because sometimes these contracts, you know, are based
sign on, a contract with the government.
Yeah, but often the price point is based on whatever it costs the government to do. So the only way for you to do it to make money is to cut something.
You know, it's interesting. The Republicans hate big government, but most of them, that's how they make their money. You know, it used to be, I saw a quote the other day, which was fascinating. Government
for poor black people.
Well, they, right. But that's, you know, it used to be we built weapons to wage war. Now we wage war to build weapons. Or it's something, I'm mixing it up.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's
you know, right. And, no, that's totally right. Yeah, and it's just, so, anyway, I feel like we are past that tipping point, and this is the shakeup that we all need. We all need to wake up. And eventually. No, we have to go. Spoke, run, Santa Cruz, Lick, Bill, Smith, Bill, Flicksville, Max, Tony, Youngwood, Edgewood, Hopwood, Punks, Tony, Whitehall, Blue Ball, Center Hall, North Paul, Tellin, over Novo, Laredo, let's go. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valley, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've talked to a lot of people. And not because we're popular, but they just want to have their voice. I've talked to a lot of people who want to be on the podcast.
We need more women on this podcast.
Damn right we do.
All right, I'm hitting turn it off.
We have a new mic.
We'll see how it works out.
Yes.
We're eating some. I think these are great potato chips.
They are.
These are always on the hunt for sponsors. These are the, what the fuck are they called?
Oh, my God. Really? Kettle chips?
Kettle chips. Yes. I was thinking that's the style. That is the brand name.
Yeah. Salt and pepper kettle chips.
I think the salt and pepper are the best. That is about my favorite.
I judge people who do ketchup or salt and pepper on the fries. Are you a ketchup or salt and pepper
guy?
I'm
a salt and pepper guy.
Me too, man. Really? If you do ketchup on fries, me and you might not get along.
I mean, I can tolerate people who do ketchup, but
traditional ketchup, maybe, but American ketchup with all that sugar and crap, nah.
What's traditional ketchup?
Like a real ketchup without all the sugar and crap.
You know, ketchup is actually even derived from like curries and stuff.
Yeah, good. Oh, now we're talking. But salt and pepper is the only way to go.
Vinegar.
Oh, my God.
Really? You like vinegar?
I don't.
Oh.
I do drink a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar a day for health, but I put it in.
Is that to help the burning?
It's to help the burning.